Division, and Musandrovu, who is our legal manager, and we have Stefino Tifo, who is our approval manager. I will not bore you, Chair, if you allow me, with a lot of slides that are in here. I'm just going to zoom and deal with the issues as I see them, because in March we will be afforded with an opportunity to come back to make a presentation about the NRCS, the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications. I will therefore not, but just briefly, just to say, the mandate of the National Regulator is to promote rights and obligations of government. And in so doing, our main focus is to protect consumers against possible, you know, health hazards. We do have some compulsory standards which are protecting consumers against health, safety, and the environment, you know, the hazards that may emanate thereof. We are responsible for the administration and maintenance of compulsory specifications and the implementation of a regulatory and compliance system, you know, within these compulsory specifications. Compulsory specifications, Chairperson, are compulsory standards, so to say. I must just indicate that when it's coming to the within the gambling legislation, the main mandate of the national regulator is to analyze the test report from the gaming equipment, that is the software, and issue a certificate that will allow some of these products to be able to be sold in the market, in the marketplace. And why do we do this? It's because we want to protect the consumer so that as he gambles, there's a guarantee in terms of the amount that must be paid out to that particular consumer to make sure that the consumer gets what he or she is entitled to. And there are regulations as well. NRCS involvement in interactive regulations is covered in terms of Section 19 of the regulations and only the approval. Now, as you see, it's a compulsory specification, and I refer to the relevant compulsory specifications. But I must indicate, Chair, while talking about that, that the compulsory specifications as we have them now are in conflict with an empowering legislation, which is a national, the NRCS Act. In terms of the NRCS Act says you can only have a compulsory specification, if there's a threat to health, safety, and environment. But however, here we have a compulsory specification that deals with performance, because it deals with issues relating to security, reliability, and the auditability. So that compulsory specification is in conflict with the legislation. In fact, to all intents and purposes, it's not a compulsory specification. And if tomorrow there was to be a court case and then we ended up in court, we will face we'll be faced with a situation where we have a compulsory specification which is not a compulsory specification, and therefore we will not be able to succeed in defending that matter. So I must indicate that the legal framework is flawed and needs to be corrected. And as a result, Chair, we are suggesting that the DTI should consider either introducing an amendment in the legislation itself or in the regulation. So the compulsory specification should form part of the DTI regulation, or the legislation must be amended to capture all those. So the standard must be made compulsory by a way of a regulation or by a way of a legislation, not by a compulsory specification. So I hope that I'm too technical here, Chair. And I think, I need to indicate that we believe that the provision in the NGB Act themselves do not provide for the regulator as well to perform this function, and we believe that the legislation itself must be clear in terms of empowering the regulator to be able to provide or to fulfill that function on behalf of the regulator. So those are some of the challenging issues. But otherwise, Chair, I must indicate that we have in the past approved 672, I think, applications that were brought for some of these gaming devices, and all of them were approved. We have not been faced with a situation where we have rejected any application. Yeah, the challenge is all those which are gambling illegally, because those machines are not brought to the regulator for approval. There we must indicate that consumers are not adequately protected. So they may manipulate those machines in such a way that consumers may find themselves, you know, being short-circuited in terms of the amount that that they're entitled to. And I think that's all, Chair. We are happy to entertain questions should there be any. Thank you.
Thank you for the sweet and short input we have got from the CEO. I think members of the committee, the ball is in our court now. Very clear and straightforward. There are gaps in the legislation which must be fixed up. I think that that's part of the mandate we have to deal with. And then also the issue of regulation, legislation, but I think that if we're dealing with the review of legislation, let's put the regulations aside, because we have to tighten up the law first, so that the rules really must not be, all right?
My suggestion, Chair, is to close the gap, and I think this is a priority. Whilst we are working on the legislation, I will strongly recommend that the DTI, the NGB, and the national, and the regulator themselves, we need to sit together and sort out this one agency. Because you can imagine, if a consumer was to go there and then lost, and we wanted an action was to be taken, either by any of these entities, we do not have a framework upon which, a consumer. So in other words, all I just want to say is that consumers are not adequately legally protected. And therefore, we need to deal with that on an agent basis. Thank you.
I think it's very clear. I don't know. Do you want to respond? I can see that you are agitated.
No, Chair. I'm just listening and taking it in.
Chairperson, do I understand it correctly that it's the NCRS Act of 2008 that needs to be amended? And secondly, what was the situation before that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. As I indicated, I see that even the DTI are confused, because we are dealing with a very technical issue here. The NCRS provides for the protection of the public against any product that are sold or found in the marketplace which may compromise them, in terms of health, safety, or relating to the environment. And we do so through compulsory specifications. Now, as you will understand, is that the SAPS provides for voluntary standards. So, but where I think the public are at risk, in terms of these areas, we recommend to the minister to declare a standard as compulsory. Once that standard is declared as compulsory, we then police that. However, the minister can only declare a standard as compulsory, provided it deals with issues relating to health, safety, and environment. Performance, which has nothing to do with any of these, it cannot be declared as a compulsory specification. It can be dealt with in another legislation, either by way of regulation or in the legislation itself. But here we have an anomaly. We have a compulsory specification that deals with performance and has nothing to do with safety, environment, or, the consumer is not at risk there. And we are saying, and therefore that compulsory specification is ultra-virus to the legislation. It does not comply with the requirements of the law. So if we were to be taken to court on the basis of that, a consumer, we will lose the case, in the sense that it does not provide adequate mechanism to protect the consumer. Hence, we are suggesting that rather than deal with that in a compulsory specification, let's deal with that in the regulation. And then the same purpose is achieved, but through a different vehicle. Thank you, Chair.
I saw your hand up.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I understand that we say the regulations and the current NCRS Act is not speaking to each other, in the sense, yes. Now, one possibility to my mind would also have been, you suggest we change the regulation. My question is, why don't we change the NCRS Act? Why don't we make the change on that side? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Because the NRCS Act has, the mandate of the NRCS Act has nothing to do with performance. And therefore, any amendment to that, you know, will not be in line with the spirit of the legislation. And therefore, the best way to deal with it is in the regulation. And I think the regulations also don't have to come here, even if they were to come here, but the process will not be as cumbersome as changing the legislation. And therefore, one would suggest that let's deal with this, and I think this can be dealt with within the next few months, and then consumers are adequately protected. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mwelese. I think that it would be interesting to know that this committee is also interested in the regulations. We just spoke to the minister previously that we want all the regulations to come here, so that because what happens, you know, we pass the law here, the department go and make regulations of some of the things which was never raised during the passage of the law, they are there in the regulation. So how are we going to monitor that? So, but I think that what you are raising is very critical. But I think that is an in-house thing. You have to go and look at the, speak with the DTI and the National Gambling Board and tie up that and see what regulation can be put in place when this whole review is being done. I think if you can do that, it will be fine. How long can you take acting DTG to get them into one house and then solve that problem?
I think this is a matter that needs to be thoroughly assessed from our side, whether indeed if we were to take the approach of amending regulations, we'd be dealing with the problem or addressing the problem. Because I have not looked at it, and I am not sure when we require NRCS that we only require them to apply their minds on the performance as such, and not necessarily on the safety part of it, whether the safety part of it is actually not inherent to that, because the consumer will be handling the equipment, the machine itself, so anything that could actually cover. So we have to look at where exactly is the problem here, you know. So I'm not entirely sure that the safety part of it, when they have to make an assessment for certification, is not inherent to that. But amending regulations, if that's the route we have to take, it's much quicker, you know, but it's a matter that we need to apply our minds to.
But if we can get a report before the end of the financial year, I think, and the end of the financial is March, né? If we can have some sort of feedback around that, what has transpired. I can see that the acting CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Partly the problem lies with what we alluded to in our slides when we presented the LPM already in point to point, because I'm very much aware that members have these slides on hand. Where we talk about the conflict of laws at times, where we said there is a conflict between the municipality bylaws and National Gambling Act law, and the conflict between the National Gambling Act and the Business Act, which is a provincial competency. In terms of the Business Act, they do regulate performance because they license machines. Any entity that has three or more machines, they do license. And some of the things they look into is the performance. For instance, even in a retail store, a scale to make sure that the scale, if they say the scale, when you put an item on it, it will show 1 kilogram. The mechanism that ensures that the 1 kilogram is accurate, it's done in terms of the Business Act. Now, it's conflicting with the National Gambling Act in the sense that, why we put it in there, is that while they do those things in terms of performance and all that, they want to go further to license and check performance in terms of their act. They're supposed to be checking performance of the gambling machines, which we license, and check in terms of safety and other things other than performance. So part of it is left to in terms of Business Act, part in national, part in NCR, and that is why we say we need to look into those acts, and those are now provincial, not national.
DTI, you've got a lot of work to do. Please coordinate them as quickly as possible. So, yeah, that's the work of the DTI. Honourable members, I don't know.
One more thing, so that we don't leave here with an impression that consumers are compromised in terms of safety. We want to give the assurance to the members, to the honourable members, that all safety-related issues, there are compulsory specifications that apply across products, irrespective. So that is not an issue. The issue is related to performance. And we are saying we cannot have a compulsory specification on performance. So that should be in a regulation and not, but it should not be under the NRCS legislation, but under their own legislation to achieve the same thing. We will still do, I think, the work, the administration and the implementation will still be done by the NRCS. But the enabling environment is flawed. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for this discussion we had here. It was really enlightening. I wish that we had the whole day, because we have moved from point to point and then internalized everything. But I think that we still have a chance to come back again and deal with these issues. But what is critical there is to help our communities. We must create a better life for everyone there, out there. And then it is the responsibility of all the entities and the government to do that. We are going to rely upon you and your steadfastness in doing your work. So we really appreciate what you've done today and the enlightenment you've brought to this committee. Continue doing the research and more work so that we can make a better life for everyone. Because if one person's life is better, the whole community's life is getting better in the process. Thank you. Can we go to the next item now, the issue of the report of the Atlantic community? Can you go to honorable members, I've just got information that the Atlantic community is going to be about arriving around half past 12. And then let's look at. Is this the. So, what we can do now is let's look at the report, which you said we must look at it lastly. That's one of the DTI and the entities. Because last week we requested that you must make input to the secretary of the committee. Let's just go through it quickly and see whether is there any adjustments which must be made. Honourable members, we can commence with our meeting. It is a great day indeed for this committee to have the members of the community where our department is operating to come and give us feedback of what is happening on the ground. Because we must remember that it is not the government which can make a difference to the people. It is the people themselves with their initiatives which can make a huge difference at the end of the day. So the government must be there to support the people so that they can realize their potential. So I appreciate the presence of the delegation from Atlantis. Also appreciate the presence of the delegation from the entities which were there during that meeting. So that as you make a presentation, the delegations will be able to engage with everyone so that we can see the status report and the progress report, how far did you go from that time. So what I'll request Mr. John Arons, who's leading the delegation, to introduce his delegation to us here and then start firing with the presentation, because really we want to give as much time as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. First, we are very thankful for the opportunity to be able to present a report to the Portfolio Committee to what has taken place since we had our meeting in Atlantis until today. To my right is Magdalene Smith, and then myself is John Arons. To my left is Carol Davids, the Secretary of the Forum. Then there's Johnny Oliphant. Then there's the Forum Chairperson, Alida Galant. She's actually the Chairperson. But because I start with all the dealings, she allow me to lead the report, but she's the Chairperson. Chair, let me start by saying that it was good from the government side to meet us. But that, in my opinion, was all which was taken place. We launched our complaints. The only parties which dealt with us since that day was the office of the DTI under the leadership of Jeffrey Nduma. Then SIDA under the leadership of Mr. Frank, and CIPRO under the leadership of Veronica Adrianse. That is the only parties that make contact with us and who try to help us. In Atlantis, we still feel that nothing has really been done to help us to become part of the business world in South Africa. As you all know where we come from and what is it that we need to get where all those who are now who enjoy the fruits of South Africa. And we want really to become part. As we speak here today, in the last 2 months, two big factories closed down in Atlantis. On our side, we did everything in our willpower to empower ourselves with the knowledge first, because if we don't have the knowledge and the information, we can do nothing in the business world. All of us who sit here in front of you is currently busy with a course, entrepreneurial course, which is a year long. We did different courses with SIDA, training courses. Veronica Adrianse helped us with some training to be able to complete application form for a cooperative. So, in a nutshell, that is all what taken place. And as the community of Atlantis and being part of the bigger family of South Africa, we feel that really a little has been done to help us. We've got no access to financial institutions, and I try a lot. I try to contact a lot. I can show emails, but without response. I visited the Small Business Week, Entrepreneurial Week at the Good Hope Center in Cape Town. I made contact with EFSA. They phoned me. I tried to set up a meeting with them until today. The gentleman who phoned me disappeared. So this is how difficult is it for us to become part of the business world. When I do the presentation in Atlantis, I said that we are staying in an area which is older than 20 years without a formal business in it. And I then request some help to set up a wholesale. I've done everything. up till today to set up that wholesale. The only thing in my way now is finance. And I cannot obtain finance because the reason is the forms which I have to complete to get some help from government. The one thing which stands in my way is to open a bank account. The other thing is to go to the supply stores which will supply that place with the necessary equipment to run it. I had to obtain some quotations. Now, being one struggle since my birth, it's very difficult to get from the one point to another. Even to be a forum is difficult for us. We don't have an office. We had to deal facilities with Redo, and we had a lot of problems with Redo. We don't really get help from Redo. I complained to the Premier when she visited the area. They promised to set up a meeting with us. Until today, I still struggle. The meeting will only now take place on the 17th of February, and that is not even with the provincial government. That is only with a representative of the Ministry of Finance in the Western Cape. So you can see if we are prepared to give our share, our part, but from the other side, there's really nothing which we can say since that day when we had that meeting in Atlantis that become better for us. And I understand that it's not a big thing that you walk in today and tomorrow you walk out. But really, we really need help from somewhere to help us. We are prepared to pay back the money which we can borrow from somewhere. But if we can't get the institution to borrow the money from, I don't see how can it help us. I will allow some of my colleagues around the table to fill in which I leave out. If there's areas that I don't cover, they can then fill in. But that is a nutshell what I can report back to the House today.
Thanks a lot for that input you have made, Ines. Can we have Mr. Johnny Oliphant?
Good afternoon, everybody present. My name is Johnny Oliphant. I'm the PRO of the Atlantis Business Contract Forum. And the main problem that we are sitting with in Atlantis is the problem that is that we've got no resources to start our own business. We've got on our database, we've got about 63 small businesses, and we formed that forum to address this kind of problem that we are facing. The problem that we are facing is that the well-established contractors take all our jobs in Atlantis. Well-established contractors take all our jobs in Atlantis, and we that are members of the forum, we don't get jobs. The other problem that we are facing is the problem that when the jobs is getting on the database of the city of Cape Town, it's a day before they expire, then we see it on the database, and that is our main concern. The other area of concern is that there's a certain contractor, and I don't know how it happens, is that only that certain contractor in Atlantis is getting all the jobs, and only that jobs. And when that jobs appear on the database, it's one day or 2 days before the expiring date. And people can go there and look at the database, and they will notice that the jobs are 2 days before expiring. You'll see them on the database. And because we've got no transport, we've got to have transport to go and put in the tenders, etc., etc. And we've got no money. We've got no startup finance and all those kind of things. And one of the worst challenges that we are facing, some of our people are blacklisted. And that is a major problem for us because we are totally isolated from entering the finance world because we are blacklisted to one or other reason. And as you know, some of our people went through recess. There's a lot of people that lose their jobs through the past years. Recently, we've got more than 2,000 people that lost their jobs. And because of that, people could not pay their debts, and they were put on blacklists. And that is why people most of the people could not get loans, etc., etc. And because when you go to an institution for funding, they just shook their head and say, "Sorry, sir, I can't help you. You are blacklisted." And some of our contractors and small businesses are being blacklisted for petty issues. And they don't even have input when they are blacklisted. They are being blacklisted for petty issues, things that they can sort out. And just because of that petty issues, they cannot get access to funding in order. What I would like from the portfolio committee is to build in some mechanism, to help our people to get over that bridge, and so that our people can get funding, because we must have resources. And as my colleague has said, radio isn't much of help for us. You see, every time when we come to them for help, there's always a fight, and we don't like that. You see, it's as if we must give them a service, not they must give us a service. Who are you fighting? With the staff of radio there, you see, and that is why we want this portfolio committee to look at Atlantis. There's a lot of empty factories there that doesn't function. There's a lot of things that we can do, and we want this portfolio committee to come to Atlantis so that we can take them around and show them what really is happening. We've got an unemployment rate of between 50% and 60% currently, and things are getting worse. And we know there's currently a recession in our country, but I think the Department of Trade and Industry are there to help us, to reach out to us and assist us. You see, we don't want the department to give us fish, but we want the department to give us the rod to catch the fish. I thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful input you have just made as a delegation. If there's anyone, I want us, if you can just wind it up now so that we can give other people a chance to come in so that we can engage on this issue.
I asked the delegation around the table. The others said they don't want to make an input now, but maybe later. The only thing I want to look at, and I want to ask you to look at it, my understanding is that whenever there's a radio in your area, the radio is there to assist in every way, especially with resources. And I think what Johnny was saying about we're fighting, we're not fighting physically. We're fighting about things which is important for us as entrepreneurs to get on the road, but we're not getting the help from them.
Can you turn off your mic? All right, honourable members, I think here's the presentation from the delegation from Atlantis. I think that is a call for help. I think that as the delegation was there yourself, can you give us any input? Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Njigalana, Honourable Kumalo, in that order.
Thanks, Comrade Chair, and thanks for the delegation from Atlantis. Well, my questions are these. One, has Atlantis identified potential job creation areas? Has it developed that? But secondly, has it taken an overview or a study of itself as an area to say these are the skills that are available in our area and these are the opportunities and this is the market in our area. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Jigeran.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I am quite delighted that we've got this session today. In all its 15, 16 years as a democratic parliament, this parliament has initiated this brilliant initiative of taking its committee meetings at least twice a year for each committee to communities. And last year, Atlantis was our choice. I feel that it's beginning to show its result. But I'm just worried about the structure and form, because we did discuss specific things there, and how I wish you could have just made our preparations a little bit more professional. Amongst them, how I wish you could have shared minutes or recordings of that session in Atlantis at that community hall. Because my concern now is that things that are being presented here are taking us way off the line. My expectation today was that we would make follow-up on things that were discussed there. Because if we start now discussing other things, we're starting a new process. I have issues to raise here, but it's just about the process of the trailer Nemtronisha. If you could just put that together, that can you just focus on issues that were raised there so that we dispense with them? Probably I can also suggest if there will still be time after dispensing with issues that were very specific raised there, followed up, we then can look at other general issues.
All right, thank you, Honorable Sigarana. I think that it is true what you are raising there, because as I said, that we have to build going forward. That's why that the issue of who was making, where do we expect a report from? Because I think that will be the starting point. The secretary is saying that we've got the minutes of the 18th of September as the portfolio committee. I think that let's refer back to those minutes so that we can see what was agreed upon. And the issue of assessment, which is raised by Honorable Mabasa, is true. I said that what are the issue of the skills? What are the industries which you want to get in? I can see that they've already said that there are empty factories there, which is also one potential of how we can buy them, those factories, so that we can have them in. So I think that, yeah, let's deal with those issues which are specific so that we can have a fruitful discussion at the end of the day. I think that also the delegation from the department is here. I think that you can see that the issue of startup finance is becoming critical. Who are dealing with that in this delegation? How we can help them? So that at least by the time we leave here, we leave with something which is in the back. So that when we meet some other time again, we speak about progress, not starting afresh. Honorable Lyon's hand was up, and then followed by Honorable Kumar.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, my question to the delegation will be that it is known that SIDA, the DTI, and CIPRO had a verbinding with the Gestria. So the forum was vandaag hier voor ons. Heb je al teruggegaan om te gaan kijken dat wat hulle met u gedeel is, wat kan u daaruit krijgen?
Thank you. Honorable Kumalo.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm actually partly covered by yourself in explanation of the minutes that were taken during the visit, as well as my colleagues. But on the issue of the funding institutions that were also there, maybe one could pose the question to say, hence the report has been given to say that up to now there is nothing that has happened. Are there any other new things other than the issue of being blacklisted only, and what were the other means that they went over to say they have to get assisted? Because if you listen to them, it's the issue of being blacklisted, and by the time we were there, it was an issue, and the funding institutions were also there, which they were listening to the very same thing, of which I think it should be happened that not all of them, that they were blacklisted in a way that they could not be funded. Maybe that we can, I mean, hear some new things if there is anything that happens thereafter. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Khumalo. Let's cut this thing short because we are going to run out of time. Ne? I'm looking at the minutes of the 18th. The engagement with the Atlantis community. The chairperson welcomed the community of Atlantis and informed them that they will be given an opportunity to address the community. The community raises the following issues. One, the complex language used in legislation and the agencies is complex. That was the issue that was raised. Number two, youth development and job creation. Number three, access to finances for business opportunities. That was number three. Number four, it was the need for the rollout of education facilities. Those are the four issues which were raised by the community. And then the committee resolved, one, that the DTI and its represented agencies, those agencies which were there, will address the issues raised and develop short-term solutions and challenges. That's why then what we must need in this meeting is that those agencies which were there must tell us what short-term solutions did they come up with. Number two, Mr. James Ndumo was identified as the DTI representative who will ensure that the matters are resolved speedily. And the DTI submits a report on the assistance provided to the community. Did you have that report, Secretary? All right. So the Secretary says some information is there from the DTI. And then number four, the committee will arrange a follow-up meeting with Atlantis community in 6 months to ascertain progress made. The DTI is represented and its represented agencies and representatives of the Atlantis engage on the issues identifying the report and report back to the committee. After they engage, I think those are the few issues which were raised in that meeting. So that we can go forward, can we get the progress report from that? So that all the agencies which were there, can they give us a short report what they've done up to this point before we can engage further? Honorable Jigala,
just another specific something which I have a passion for. I hope others as well. I remember very clearly there was a lady there who said she wanted, together with about four or five other ladies, to set up a leather factory. And also the other specific thing was the issue of helping to set up a wholesaler. So I would like, with the support of my colleagues, amongst other things, that be raised, that how far was assistance on those 2 points. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Jigalan. Can we give the entities and the department a chance to respond before we make a call? Because we end up having a dialogue. Ne? The entities which are represented there, can you please introduce yourself and then tell us what has happened up to this point?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. My name is Sipho Zikode from the Department of Trade and Industry. I have with me here Mr. Jeff Ndumo, who is the chief director in the department. Also with us is the representatives of the organizations and of government. Yes, indeed, Mr. Chair, after that first workshop, there have been a lot of interactions with the different institutions, with the people of Atlantis. I can mention CEDA, which has been to Atlantis many times by now, interacting with the community. there was also a bigger workshop that followed the first one. This workshop was held on the 9th of October, where Ms. Ndumo, as the person who's leading, who's coordinating and convening together with all the institutions. They met with the community on the 9th of October. If I remember well, I think it was only NEF and SAMAF that couldn't attend the meeting that day. But even subsequent to that big work, big workshop, CEDA and CPRO have been interacting, and there's a number of co-ops and entities, companies that have been registered already as a result of those interactions. Sorry, I'll let Mr. Ndumo, just to, with your permission, Chair, run through a few slides and just to brief you on what has happened really, and what interactions have been there. And
that will be highly appreciated. Yeah, thank you, DDG, and thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say that we immediately after the portfolio meeting, which took place in September on the 28th, yeah, on September, what happened is that
Mr. the slides not in the projector.
Yeah, we've got them in the projector. They can be projected, and we also have copies that we've made available, which can be distributed, Chairperson, and you can have them.
Was that the agents that's going to be paramount are two in leading these processes. It's going to be CEDA, which is going to be able to provide training in the upfront so that people are well trained in the areas that are identifying them, and then they can then be able to develop business plan, they can be able to engage with those things. So CEDA is going to play a very paramount role in the as a frontline organization. And secondly, what became clear was that CIPRO then is going to follow suit after the CEDA to be able to register those entities that have been identified. But broadly speaking, I mean, if you go even beyond that, what became clear, there were also complaints about issues that people had submitted business plans which were not approved at the time to the portfolio committee. Some of those things were not necessarily captured even also. I think they're not reflected in the minutes. It became clear that, in fact, those business plans were non-existent and those things don't exist in essence. So then what we then said was that, look, this is not the issue. What we need to do is that people have expressed interest to have businesses in that area. The paramount issue is that we need to have to help them in that particular regard. You will see the report that CEDA is going to be giving now in bringing people to the level of understanding on the training and all those issues. CEDA is going to be coming there very clearly on that issue, because that became clear that it must leave that particular process. And in fact, in the subsequent meeting that we had, there was a clear agreement that the core driver will be CEDA for us, which then subsequently is then when business plans are developed and clear market identified with CEDA, then business plans are submitted to financing agencies to be funded, which CEDA will have in developing them together with the community. So what I'm saying is that we are dealing with a process that must go in particular phases, and therefore the committee must not say that things are not happening. What we are saying is that we are in the progress to arrive at those things right up to the level that we have those particular business plans. Now, what then meant was that in our first meeting, these are the issues that we clearly identified that needed to be addressed. As I say, that they are going to follow the sequence order that I've just alluded to you, members of the portfolio committee. We had the workshop, it was successful, attended by the numbers of people, and then also there was a clear commitment by all the agencies on these areas. The issue that became clear, which we never anticipated it really, was this blacklisting of most of the members there. You know, this is the issue that we never anticipated, which therefore throws the challenge as to say, how do you then, because even our agencies have got this particular, how do you then provide funding to people that have got this particular record of this is another issue that we need to find a way to resolve. We have not provided the resolution. What we have done there, if you see my report, is just to say that we are urging people not to be able to address these matters individually. But I don't think that, I don't know what is the mechanism within government that is available for us to help people to come out to that thing. It's non-existent at the moment, other than to educate them how to go about negotiating these issues of blacklisting with the credit bureau and then come out of them. So these are the issues that came out of that particular meeting as well. The other issue that came out was the issue of BEE compliance. And then it dawned out very clearly that people are saying that they are losing tenders precisely because where they've got businesses, they're losing tenders because of BEE compliance. They are required on some of the tender documents that are issued that they must demonstrate their BEE requirement. We then provide them with some training to say to them, look, if you've got an entity that is starting, which is a startup entity, which has not done any business, or it is within the framework of 300,000 rands in terms of annual turnover, that entity must not comply with BEE. So what you need to do is just to submit the statement that you are that entity in terms of SARS, whatever, and then you are not required to do that. If you are on a small business, which is up to 5 million, 300K up to 5 million, what you need to do there in that scenario is to ensure that you comply with only four. And then you get a verification certificate from a small business. And most of those verification certificates are very reasonable in cost so that the person can then be able to submit them to the entity concerned. So these are the issues that we alluded to and helped the community members from the frustration that has been expressed on the level of accessing tenders, because these were the constraints that were identified. On startup capital members is that there is a commitment by all our agencies to provide that startup. We have also committed ourselves, we've got what we call a cooperative incentive scheme that will provide those members once a cooperative has been established and also the opportunities have been clearly identified, with which I think now CEDA, we're going to allow them, with your permission, Chairperson, to say what has been done in that area, then to then go to funding with clear objective: what are the businesses, what are the opportunities, what are the market. Our honourable members ask those issues, and then can these businesses be able to be successful and be sustainable, then they get funding. All the agencies have committed that they are waiting earnestly with those particular requests. So what it means is that what must flow out from CEDA is those businesses, those business plans. My follow-up from CEDA is those particular technical trainings that have been done so that we can guarantee sustainability and success of those. What must flow out there is that those training, we can then be certified to ourselves that then people are going to succeed. Then in the business plan, which the members themselves who are going to be driving this business must be taken through it and participate fully, because it doesn't help for CEDA to sit in its isolated offices to drive the business plan without involving the members into that particular process. So these are the issues that really we're going to be getting reports from CEDA on them. And then we also have a number of cooperatives that have already been registered, which is a progress, which we could report, which about 48 members of these different cooperatives are going to be beneficiaries. We're now waiting for a period where we're going to have business plan and a website. We're committing ourselves from our CIS, which is a cooperative incentive scheme, which starts from 10,000 to 300K, to fund those businesses or those cooperatives to help in that particular regard. So in essence, Chairperson, there is no challenge. The issue is that the things are still in the process, and that process, of course, with development might be very slow, not to the liking of our members within the community, but it must happen. What I think you must be brought in now, I will invite CEDA just bring out to say, where are they now as the core anchor of our process? Where are they, to give you a total picture of this thing, to say that how they are driving those issues that have already been agreed upon? I just will summarize it that way, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for Mr. Ndumo for the presentation. Is CEDA, where is the rep of CEDA? Can you come forward, please? Thank you.
Chair, I also hope Sita will share something in writing for us as well. Just as CIS has done.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Maybe I should introduce myself. My name is Joseph Frank. I'm the branch manager for CEDA in Belleville. What I'd just like to do is just to give you a brief report back on the activities which we've had in the Atlantis area. The background, responding to the community requirements, highlighted during the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee meeting held in Atlantis on the 18th of September 2009. CEDA Western Cape responded with the following. First of all, community outreach, specialized training. We've also engaged actively with businesses with full CEDA support program. And the process that we went through, we established a working relationship with the community via a community leader. We then also scheduled a CEDA information session outlining the offerings that we have at CEDA. We identified the community needs during this particular information session. And the needs that we identified were, we conducted some tender training, which was specifically in the focused on the building industry. We also conducted cooperative training, a one-day session there. And then thirdly, we conducted some basic business skills training. We also identified and engaged entrepreneurs who required individual one-on-one service. So what we tried to do was to engage people on a group basis, and then also those who needed individual attention, we did that as well. We also continue with CEDA standard product offerings, assisting these clients to develop. Okay, the information session, which was held on the 30th of September, we introduced the offerings of CEDA. We introduced basic entrepreneurial skills and information. We had 32 entrepreneurs who attended that meeting on the 30th of September. The tender training we held on the 27th of October 2009. We had a one-day workshop on the principles of tendering, focusing mainly on the construction and building industry. We had 18 attendees on that day. On the 28th of October, we followed up with a cooperative training session, which we had the basic giving information on cooperatives and information regarding access to the DTI cooperative grant. We then had 20 people attending that session. And on the 5th of November, we had a one-day training session covering all aspects of the typical startup business plan. We had 8 people attending on that day. And following on that, as a result of these interventions by CEDA, we had 13 individual companies who registered with us, and we are now actively involved one-on-one with these clients. These clients are now on the full CEDA program, and we are going through the process of doing assessments and so on with them to get to the point where we can actually do projects with them. In summary, we have reached out to 82 entrepreneurs in total. 46 entrepreneurs received specialized training. 13 are now actively CEDA clients who operate their own businesses. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the presentation you have made. I think that from Mr. Ndomo, the issue was very clear. CEDA, we should have helped these people, their business plans, you know, whatever. Were there any tangible ones which were made?
I think to answer that question at this point in time, we've gone through the process of doing assessments with the clients, and those clients that deemed required business plans, we obviously would be in the process of doing requesting quotations and doing that. At this point in time, there haven't been any business plans developed, but we are in the process that we will get to that point.
This is your meeting.
Now, my question here to CEDA will be, noting the relatively negative input that we got from Atlantis, what other additional information do you want to give which answers some of the concerns that were raised before you spoke? I mean, I know some you have covered as you make your presentation, but the purpose of this exercise is to end up as a team. It's not so much A against B, B against A, but to complement each other. You have understood them, they have understood. You see, if we're at different meetings, we would have said, no, something doesn't... So we want to challenge the two parties to come to do just that. Thanks.
Honorable Jigalan. After Honorable Jigalan, Mr. Fanofis.
Chair, I suppose as I appealed for a structured approach, this is the, for now, the question time, so I'll restrain myself on comments. Mr. Frank, and I trust and hope Babundum and whatever Cipro people, obviously you'd assume that also from our side we might be a bit uneasy about the pace. How we should have been faster, and I'm still keen, or maybe should Frank put me at ease with the first question to you, Chair, that those two specifics, the establishment of a leather factory and the wholesaler, you sort of included them within the whole program because of what Mr. Ndomo said, that you actually realized that in order to make a breakthrough in Atlantis is actually to raise the whole body of skills and knowledge, you know, around business management or business techniques. That's fine, I can see you nodding. Now, the second area is that you have been dealing with leadership. I want to emphasize that, the community leadership there. And you've taken them, you first met them, consulted them, you went through a number of training sessions, highly commended, because initially I just thought it was just a one day off, but as you can see, Chair, it was days, and it was even focused at some stage, you know, looking at the individuals. I want to go back to one thing I've been saying. You all throughout, you also have been dealing with leadership, community leaders of the forum, who have been elected by the people. Did you at that stage in time detect uneasiness about the slow pace of things? I know that you guys are thorough, you don't want to do things that is of poor quality, you know. But did you detect no uneasiness, or did they express themselves? Maybe not so overtly at times, but we would like things to move a bit faster. Because you have to, you know, as leader, you have to go through this before you actually say, here's a business plan, here's cooler summer for funding. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll give Mr. Fernandez a chance to ask a question, and then we'll give also the delegation from Atlantis to put in, so that when they answer comprehensively.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like a few answers. The first one is, can we get some more detail as to those 13 enterprises? I want to go away convinced that those enterprises weren't there 6 months ago. They are there now. How many people are being employed, etc.? Because what I've heard today has not really convinced me that all the energy and all the money, and a lot of money has been spent there now, has had any impact, that it has brought about any change. I'm convinced that Mr. Martin and the others, they want an answer. They would say, listen people, your retail or wholesale business that you want to start is a dead duck. It's not going to work. You know, don't even try anymore, but we can show you perhaps a few pointers to other possible entrepreneurial activities there. But these people, and that's what I heard initially, they've got a need, they're crying out for some assistance, but we're giving them something else. They're asking for milk, and we're giving them bread or something like that. Really, you know, going there and training them in terms of, let's say, for cooperatives. We know the Department of Trade and Industry has got this cooperative program. But is this really the need? Did any of these people come to us and say, we need some more information on cooperatives? You know, it makes me think of the biblical tale of, you know, will you give your child a snake when he asks for a bread or something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not, we're not on the same level, the frequency of that. And can I just say, tenders. Now you get trained in terms of tenders, but how will you tender if you haven't got a business in the first instance? You know, again, you're not giving the people what they need at this point in time. And can I just say, the frustration of this community and Atlantis for me is a sample of what's happening all over our country. Where I've been to visiting Red Door centers, etc., and spoken to clients that come in and out of the door. If I go inside, the people will tell me, oh, we're assisting a lot of businesses. When you talk about the people that have just asked for the service and that have just left the doors, they are so frustrated. It's just incredible. And somewhere, we as monitors of whether this country is getting bang for its buck, the services for its tax, I go away today with a feeling these people are not getting the support. So please convince me in your answer, whoever, DTI, Mr. Frank, whatever, that what you've offered is really what those people require. You're speaking to their needs. You've assessed what they really need, and why is cooperatives what they really need? Why is knowledge of tenders what they really need? That's not what I've heard from them. Now, why are you giving them a snake if they ask for bread? Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Conversation. I think that we are getting somewhere. I think that from the reports which we have got up to so far, I think that those are building blocks. Né? The only thing which must be done must be fine-tuned. I'll give you a chance, Mr. Fung, so that they can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I think maybe some of us don't understand what is taking place. There's some good communication between us, the community, and the Department of Trade and Industry, all the time, from the beginning. There's some good communication between us, the community, and SAIDA. The training which they talk about is the training we get. There's some good communication between us and CIPRO. But we are frustrated for the following things.
Is that
as we speak here today, we cannot go out and apply for a business plan for the simple reason we don't have the money, and the institutions from government which has to help us, they don't help us. For an example, our company goes to Red Door to apply for that voucher, and my belief of a voucher is it's something that government gives which will help the people. When we went to apply for that voucher, we were told that we must make an appointment, of which we did. After the appointment, we were called in one by one, like in the olden days, and we were interviewed. Then we had to wait another 3 weeks. Then we were called in again, and we were told that a letter will be sent to your address. When I received the letter, I was told that, yes, your ID check is clear, but your friends is not clear. On my question, is it then the normal practice that one has to go through an IT check for a voucher? The Red Door manager said yes. My friends then go to a meeting in Khayelitsha with cooperatives where they find out that that's not a real position. When we ask some of the other government officials, they say that that is the real practice. So we are not clear what is the real practice to get to and voucher, because my understanding is the voucher is there to help us. Now, even if you cannot even obtain a voucher, how can you then go into business? CIPO did help us to register as cooperatives, but CIPO cannot help us to obtain funding to start our businesses. So that's the other frustration. I was the other day approached by some of the entrepreneurs, which says that, John, we are now tired of workshops, because we do workshops and we get certificates, but that's all we're going. We are not here today to come and say that nobody did nothing. Something was done, but I will agree with some of the speakers in this house which says that the pace is the problem in which we're doing it. And really, we will really abide ourselves by the pace, but if you look what is taking place in our area, and my colleague stated to you that we are one of the areas with the highest unemployment rate, and currently as we sit here, factories is closing. Now, I don't know where will we ever get the money from to feed our children if we cannot get help to start the businesses which can employ some people and which can provide to some people. And I don't say today that the responsibility is the only responsibility of the state. As I stated this morning when I started, I said that some of us around the table and most of us enroll ourselves to some institutions to do that entrepreneurial courses to understand how to do business, and we are thankful for that help we get, but those who must help us, they don't help us. Mr. Frank, Joseph Frank, I can phone him anytime, but he didn't have all the things to give us to get underway with businesses. So that is our problem. The plight out there is that we are doing workshops and courses, but we're getting nowhere. That's the real thing.
All right, thank you for that input. I think that Mr. Ndomo has explained the process. Né? As you said initially, that they did make an assessment of the area. We found that the issue of skills was the critical part. They have to start like a greenfield project, né? Start from scratch. So the issue of CIDA was this coming, the issue of CIPRO, I'm happy that, as he reported initially, that those entities did come to you. So it means that we must go to the next level now. I think that as a project plan, we must have put some time and so that everyone knows, so that everyone gets a buy-in in this thing, so that we know that this issue of funding will only come after so much, because I think that's where the problem is lying now. Because it's very difficult to tell someone, hey, please, people understand that you must not get hungry today. We'll only provide for next week. You know, people will never understand that. Né? So, but I think that from the onset, it should have been put the target date, né? We start here, at least I'm happy that in the side of CIDA, there are already 13 clients which are already active, but was that linked to the startup capital, to those people who must provide the startup capital? I think those are the things you must be explained. Can you come and zoom on those issues? And then the issue of that factor again, of the leather and the wholesale setup, just get specific answers for those, so that we don't, because we're running out of time. Thank you, Mr. Frank.
Okay, Mr. Chair, thank you. I think maybe if I could just start off by saying that the important thing from the outset was to develop a relationship with John and with the committee, and so much so that you know, I've said to them, at any time you can call me, whatever help you need, and hopefully we've stood up for that. In terms of the factories, the leather factory and that, I must be honest, it's the first that I've heard of it. In all our conversations that I've had with John and with the committee, that's never actually been brought up. But hence, you know, I will take it up with John and we will sit and see what we can do about it. And I'm not trying to dodge the subject. I must be honest, it's the first I've heard of it. I think, as I said earlier, what's been very important for me is to develop the relationship. And we've tried to do so on two different levels. One is to work with groups of people in terms of doing training, but more importantly, to engage people
clients or potential clients on a one-on-one basis. And to do that, we do a formal assessment with them, and then through the assessment, it becomes very clear on what we need to do to help them. And in terms of the business plan, I would like to say that, that if one of the things that comes out of that assessment of the assessment is a business plan, then we've got no problem whatsoever in getting people to put a really a professional business plan together, which we can then take to the Kulas, the NEFs, or the whoever, wherever it may be. So what I will say to John in particular, and to the portfolio, the community of Atlantis that are represented here today, is that I'm more than willing to sit on one-on-one with anyone from Atlantis, and we will definitely make sure that they have a professional business plan that they can take to any bank to access funding. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
My question was not answered. Throughout the interaction, did Mr. Frank observe or pick up any signs or expression of anxiety about the pace?
Mr. Chair, I do apologize for not answering the question. And to answer your question, I must be honest, I've been in Atlantis probably 5, 6, 7 times over the last 3 months personally. And I've had many interactions with all the members. And I must be honest, I haven't picked up any agitation or negativeness from the committee in terms of the pace at which we've been moving to help the clients in Atlantis.
Thank you. Can I give Mr. Ndoma and Mr. Zikota a chance to come in and then we deal with the issue of startup capital again after that?
Yeah, thanks. Through you, Chair, may I give people a minute to answer on the leather and the wholesale, because it looks like there's been some small progress on that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Joey Mateka, Acting Executive Manager in charge of customer services in Cipro. What I'd like to report is that there has been registrations of 2 cooperatives. I think the honorable member mentioned the one in the manufacturer, in the leather manufacturing sector. The name is called R&D Manufacturing of Leather Product Cooperative. It has been registered, as well as Cheval Wholesale Consumer Cooperative. They've both been registered last year.
Right, thank you.
Yeah. Chairperson, I think that is what that signals to us, is that there is an interest in the community to start those particular businesses. What I think what should be happening, in fact it was the advice from our members here, that the best way of starting that wholesale business will be through cooperatives, so that what you do, you organize the people that will be purchasing from that particular wholesale, who will be distributing their own input, and then they are members of the cooperative, so that they use the services of the wholesale, and in that way it becomes what you call a purchasing cooperative for those particular businesses that are small, that are there, which the cooperative will be supplying, and they are going to be the members and the beneficiaries within it. Now, what then must happen is that, I think practically, really, is that what we're hoping is that CIDA now is going to sit down with those businesses, small businesses, together with the people who are leading it, to therefore say that, how do we then formulate a business plan that can then be funded, which is going to be viable, because one, you've got already a guaranteed market for the buyers who are going to be those small businesses, and then secondly, it then can negotiate to buy on bulk or on a much more discount basis from other particular what you call original producers, whether they are farms or what in the particular area, who could then be able to be the main source where they buy their goods, and then they are able to distribute them, and some of them those big companies that are able to do that. And I think this thing can be viable, and it has all the hallmarks to be successful. What we need therefore is that a very clear business plan, particularly on the wholesale, to be developed to involve all those members, and then it can then be presented to our agencies with viability business plan, then it can be funded in that regard. Then we can have here in Western Cape for the first time a world consumer and a purchasing cooperative being established, which would be a very fundamental and a good development. That's the first thing. And then the second thing is that on the leather front, we need to be able also to have a clear case where through the whole framework of FIDA,
take people, those women who have established that cooperative on leather, and then see whether there is a viable business there that we can talk about, and then we can then be able to take it to our agents. There is already an agreement with our agencies that work capital requirement is above a particular product that is available. There will be co-funding arrangements that are going to be provided for, so that where we don't have limitations for funding, let's say something is about a particular, above a particular rate, we have on our side, which is a beautiful thing, a grant which we can provide and mix it with the loans that can be provided by the our agencies, either NEF or also Kula, to be able to marry the two and then be able to fund these particular projects. There is no limitation. The only thing is that I think, which is the issue that goes to the pace as well, to the extent to which that pace is moving, then we can be able to take these things forward. The mechanism is there. Our mandate, what we have agreed upon, is that we as DTI are going to unlock a gridlock. If there is any frustration, that must be communicated to us so that we can unlock the frustration. And secondly, agencies are also expecting to receive individual support, and in those particular proposals that are going to come from here are going to be given a priority so that we can see outcomes much faster, Chairperson. So those are the things that we just want to mention, and I think that is, I will urge the members of the community to really work closely with CEDA to bring about these things, so that therefore we don't sit here and talk about funding is not available. We have said very clearly that, yes, we know that there is red dog in the province, but here are agencies of DTI that are ready to fund you, and they've made that commitment. So let's not go back to the red door and talk about the frustrations of it. Let's go straight to these agencies that are here in front of the portfolio committee and put them on the case so that they can fund these things. That's the essence of the story, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ndomo. I'll give the Deputy Director General. You know, the time here is about 25 to 2. We've got the Women's Caucus at 2, and then we've got another meeting at 2, as we were supposed to have that meeting. Please, let us just cut it short. So, because what you are, this meeting is about, actually is about a delegation from Atlantis. I think that at the end of the day, those are the people who must reflect whether did they understand what is transpiring here and what must be done. Because from what from where I'm sitting now, I can see that a lot of work has been done. But they also said that there was something like communication gaps somewhere, which we must ensure that we tie them up. As Mr. Mabasa has said, that what is critical there is to build, is to unite the forces so that we come with a better product.
No, thanks. What I want to commit to the community of Atlantis is that, you know, this thing doesn't end up with me and Mr. Ndumo at the DTI. We have identified 9 people who are responsible for all the provinces, like we are doing with Mr. Atlantis. These people, every month, they will be meeting with the Deputy Minister and reporting back to her what is happening down there. The Deputy Minister will go into the main mac of trading industry and report to the MECs of the provinces and to the Minister on the progress of all these projects that we are engaging with the community. So really, yes, maybe the progress is slow, but remember, it's only been 4 months and was a Christmas break in between. So, that's a fact of the matter. And Mr. Ndumo, you see, he is the man who is responsible, a coordinator. If you have a problem with any financial institution after CEDA has developed a business plan, please report to him. He will report to the Deputy Minister, will report to the Minister. And that's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, DDG. Members, as I said, that I think Mr. Panavis says in his question, the child asks for a fish, you give him a snake, it cannot happen. But I think that really the fish is being baked somewhere. I can smell it. I can smell that. So I'll give the chance to the members from the community, please. What is it which you want to raise in our presence now? So that when we make a follow-up meeting with the department, we will ensure that the progress is being made around that. Thank you, sir. You can follow.
What I would ask the portfolio committee is there must be a monitoring mechanism in place so that this thing with Atlantis specifically
must be a pilot project to other towns also, you see, so that we monitor what is happening in Atlantis, and that we can that we make regular contact with us that represent the community here at this portfolio committee, and listen from us and also from the people that will help us. What is really, is there really progress in this kind of thing? Because then we won't get frustrated if we hear from the DTI phoning us to hear, is things progressing in your area? So the only thing that I want to ask is that there must be a monitoring mechanism in place.
Thank you. To have a
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think there's a few things which we need to make sure that the cooperation between government and the communities is very sound. Because I think the thing which is make each and every project, government project, not successful is the miscommunication. Now, as the community, first and foremost, we cannot communicate with government without resources. And the resources has been limited. So we need resources, which means if I had to make a phone call to Mr. Frank, who represented SIDA, I must go through so many doors just to obtain one telephone call. And I'm not in the position to have airtime every day. The second thing is access to computer facilities. I know there's a radar in Atlantis, but some of the equipment there is very restricted. And I can understand why, because they serve a whole of the community, and we have only two computers there. Now, if we as the forum want to do something, they had to refuse us because they had to see to the needs of other people too. So we cannot fight with them about that. So if the government can assist us with one, even if it's in a government building, we can contact local government and see how can they assist us with accommodation to do our communication from us to government. And you can ask Mr. Joseph Frank. I had numerous problems just to obtain a day for one day to give the training because of resources. So this is the one area which restricted us very much to grow. I think if we can just get that right, then I will see the green light going on for us to grow. Thanks.
No, I think, thank you for the articulate way in which you have presented to this. I think that we are all now at the same wavelength where we are. But what is critical is that we just go outside there and work very hard, because it is in our interest that we become successful. Né? So I'd like to thank the delegation and the community, and then also the department and its entities. Let us work very hard. The issue of monitoring, this committee will monitor that. Né? This one is going to become our baby. Else said that is a pilot project, né? Because really we must turn around, because there's no other person who's going to make South Africa to be successful except us, the South Africans. So I think that everyone must do his or her own bit. I think this is a good starting point. There's only one way which you can go, it's only up. Thanks a lot for the attendance and the perseverance of what you've done. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.